All right, so as we continue on with the mitzvah of Chal here, so on the first page we have from the Tur/Beis Yosef that there in Gimel it says Umidurabanan Noeg Afilu B'Chutzlaretz. So what Beis was that their chiyuv is only in Eretz Yisrael, and as we learned last week, only when Rov Yosheva Aleh, when the majority of the Jewish people are there, whatever that means. That can mean several different things. It doesn't just mean the total number. It could mean some other things as well. So our assumption nowadays is that the Hafrashas Chal is only a Din D'Rabbanan. So not only are we Mafresh Chal in Eretz Yisrael, but we're Mafresh all over the world. So how did that come about? So that's a Mishnah in the last parak of Maseches Chala. So the Torah says in Gimel Midrabbanan Noeg Afilu B'Chutz La'aretz, and Uvizman Shehaya Tara Be'eretz Lo Hayu Mafreshin. Okay, you know, let's just, well, actually the Torah probably gives a decent summary. So that when there was taras ba'aretz, meaning during the time when everyone was pure in Eretz Yisrael, lo yom afrishin el chal achas v'nel chal slachoin. So the way it worked was you were mafrish chala and you gave it to the kohen, like it says in the Torah. That would be whether it's the reis or whether it's the rabbanan. Meaning you take the challah, you assume that it has some level of, it has kedusha, and you give it to a kohen. The kohen is tahor, and he gets to eat the challah. Uvamakomos hakrovos la, shtei chalos. Now, in the places close to Eretz Yisrael, so there were two chalos that were taken. One that was burnt, and one that was given to the kohen. Va'ata she'in taras erbe Eretz Yisrael, yev shar lekohen lechol sham hachalah ele nisrefes. So, and now that there is no Tara in Eretz Yisrael, the assumption is that everybody is Tamei. Eiv shar l'kohen lechol, the kohen is not going to be able to eat the challah there. Rather, it gets burnt. Okay. V'chasev bahag, she'ain tzarech l'hafrish acheres l'kohen, v'chein kasev arama. And the bahag adds in that we are not mechuyev to separate an extra piece of challah in order to give it to the kohen. Aval b'shar makomos, kasev she'tzarech l'hafrish taim k'verishimna. But in other places, they should. So what are these two challahs that we're talking about? So we'll get to that in a moment. And the Torah concludes and says, V'yishar makimash ha-challah ne'achalas b'Eretz Yisrael, gam b'shar makomus ain't tzarech l'hafrish el ha'achas l'sreifah. Since the challah is not eaten in Eretz Yisrael, also in other places you don't have to separate challah, rather it could be burnt. And the Rush says that no, they still separated two challahs. So what in the world is this about? So if we go back to the first page on the sources over there, so it's a Mishnah in the fourth parak of Maseches Chala. So b'parak, Vaster the Chala, in the last parak of Chala, Tanan, the Mishnah tells her, Gamliel Omer Shalosh Aratzos L'Chala, that there's three lands that we discuss when it comes to Chala. So mi Eretz Yisrael ad Kiziv Chala Acha. So from Eretz Yisrael till Kiziv. So what is Kiziv? So Kiziv, it's unclear what Kiziv is. Seems to be a machlokas rishonim, but Kiziv seems to be a town a little bit north of Akko and a little bit south of Rosh Hanikra. So pretty much at the total north of modern day, I think Rosh Hanikra is pretty much the total north, right? Pretty much you go another mile, you're in Lebanon. So
there's a little tip there, yeah.
Right. So a little south of Rosh Hanikra is this place called Kiziv. Actually, I looked today in the art scroll Yerushalmi on Chala. So, well, I don't know. Yeah, they have this map, but truth is, it's not a great map. But anyways, it's up there. Kiziv is
mentioned as the place where Yehuda's wife stopped giving birth when she gave birth to Shelah.
Oh, very good. Okay. So that's according to, I think, at least according to the art scroll map, that's where Kiziv is. Some assume that it's actually in the northeast, not in the northwest, but that's the assumption. So from Eretz Yisrael till Kiziv, that has, you take one challah. What does one challah mean? So we'll see. That challah means that you separate, like you did in the Torah, like the Torah tells you. You separate challah, you give it to a kohen, the challah needs to be tahor, the kohen needs to be tahor, and everything is good. And even though the din is only durabanan during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, still, okay, that's fine. We're still going to maintain all of the halachos as if it was d'oraisa. From Kziv until the Nahar, and until Amnon. So what is the Nahar and what is Amnon? So that's also a little unclear. They suggest that the Nahar is like a river sort of opposite Kiziv, sort of that goes out to Damascus. There is a river, and there is a river called the Pharpar River or so, that seems to travel, whatever, that, I should have put this in the notes, that seems to travel along sort of a little bit south from Damascus and enters into the Sea of Galilee, the Kinneret, right? So that's sort of this second area, and then Amnon is sort of the mountainous region up there, which I guess would include Har Hermon, meaning that area where where David Kanatovsky spent the last most of the last 4 months, right, with the very all the hills and stuff up there. So that's considered to be this second border of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, and then the other places, and then right there it has to be two chalos. One goes to the fire and one goes to the Kohen. Shel Or Yishla Shir, the one that goes into the fire needed to be the amount of the challah. Vishal Kohen ain la shir, and the amount that's given to the Kohen didn't have a shir. Wasn't the amount of challah. They just, it wasn't 1/24th or 1/48th. They just gave him an amount. And then from the Nahar until Amnon, vilifnim, and then from Amnon and the Nahar and inwards. Now, inwards, I think, is really from the perspective of Bavel, because otherwise this doesn't make sense. Right? From the Nahar until Amnon and away further out from there, so that's considered to be Chutz La'aretz, right? Shtei chalos, achas la'or v'achas la'kohen, shel or ein la'shir, the one that goes into the fire didn't have a shir, v'shel kohen yesh la'shir, v'tvul yom ochla. And a tvul yom could actually eat it. So that's also an exception to the rule. I mean, normally, anybody who is tamei was not allowed to eat it. Anybody who had any type of tumah. A tvul yom is somebody who has tumah hayotzes min haguf. Well, actually, it could be anything, but somebody who went to the mikvah, but he still needs to wait for it to be nighttime in order for it to be tahor. So not only could he be a tamei meis, but any type of, but as long as he has gone to the mikvah already, he could eat the challah, even though he's still waiting for the night. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Eino tzarech tvila, v'asur lezavim, v'lezavos v'nidos v'liyodos. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you don't need the tvila, but it's still going to be usher to zavim zavos, nidos and yoldos, meaning anybody who is in that category. Fine. So now, how do we explain this? So Perish HaRush Beresh Parakol HaBasir. So there's a long rush here that sort of spells this out. He says, from Ksiv until the Nahar, V'yad Amnon, L'fish HaMakum Makum Tuma Shesamuch La'aretz HaAmim, V'ein Yecholim Lishmor Atzman U'Perusehem Betara, V'chalusehem Temeos, V'tu'uno Srefa Ketruma Temeya. He says, what's the issue? So he's not actually. There's a little bit more background that we should probably give, right? That the Eretz Yisrael, there's sort of two overlapping territories that are known as Eretz Yisrael. There's Eretz Yisrael, what they call that, what has kedusha from the Olei Mitzrayim, that which the people when they came out of Egypt and Moshe, led by Moshe and led by Yoshua, and they covered and they conquered Eretz Yisrael. So that's the kedusha of Olei Mitzrayim. The assumption is, and that's what they also refer to in the Gemara as kedusha Rishona, right? The first kedusha that they had in Eretz Yisrael. That ended during the time of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. So the Jews left Israel, and the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael became null and void. That is the way we pass him. The Kedusha Rishona became Batal. Ezra comes back, and he comes back with a bunch of Jews, right? And they reestablish Kedusha in parts of Eretz Yisrael. Not all of Eretz Yisrael, but parts of Eretz Yisrael. They either partly because not so many Jews came, and partly because they wanted to leave spaces that would be open so that they would be able to be makel on Shemitah and other mitzvahs to leave us ba'aretz.
Really?
So that's Kedusha, that's what they call Kedusha Shnia. And the assumption is, at least we paskin, this is a machlokas we showed him, but we paskin that kedusha continues ad yom hazeh. I shouldn't say we paskin, we assume that the kedusha continues until today, right? And that's why the Beis HaMikdash still has kedusha, right? The Makom HaMikdash is still considered to have kedusha because that's going all the way back to the time of Ezra. So where exactly is this? So what then is the status with regards to the mitzvah of challah? So we're following those same patterns. So this comes up in Hilchos Shemitah. It comes up in the Lachos of Milchemes Mitzvah and stuff, as we discussed in Shul before we left a couple of weeks ago. And then this also comes up within the realm of challah. So the section, what they call Eretz Yisrael until Kiziv, that's referring to Eretz Yisrael proper. So that's going to have the full Kedusha Shnia. The second level here is probably has Kedusha from the Oli Mitzrayim, but that was Batel, and it was never sanctified by Ezra. Right? So now we have this second space here. So the so Lefisha Makom, Tumash Rasamach, Betara, V'chalasim, Temeos, V'tunos, Reifa, So what do we got here? So this is Shamakom Makom Tuma Shasamach L'Eretz Amim. So that is, so we're assuming that that area is a place of Tuma because it's close to the other nations, and you're not able to keep yourself and the bread and allow it to continue to become, to allow it to stay Tahor. So either that's because there's a concept of all the land outside of Eretz Yisrael has a permanent status of Tumas Ameis, or just in general, there are a lot of Goyim around, and we're concerned that they're going to get their hands in all the bread. Either way, the assumption is that we're not going to be able to maintain the challah in a correct Tahor status. So therefore, it requires to be burnt. L'kach amru shechalu sehem nisrafos. V'tiknu, but they made the following takana, because if you just get used to burning all the challah, so then you assume that that's the mitzvah, that the mitzvah of challah is that I take some challah off, I take a chunk of challah off, and I burn it, right? And you forget the fact to give it to the kohen. So v'tiknu lahafresh odacheres v'yochlena kohen. So therefore, the takana was to take off another portion and give that to the kohen. Shelo tishtakeach toras challah to toras challah, so that we don't forget the mitzvah of challah. But it didn't have kedusha of challah, meaning the that which they burnt had kedusha of challah, right? And that was then burnt because it was tameh. But then they took off another amount and gave it to the kohen, and you can give it to whatever kohen you want because it's just to recall the fact that we're supposed to give challah to the kohen. Okay. Now, yes, we don't do this today. But you have to figure out why we don't do it today. Because the Gemara seems to be across the board that this was done, that there were two challahs that were taken.
Two pieces of challah.
Two pieces of challah, right. One is burnt and one is given to a kohen. And then he...
Where are you reading now?
In the Beis Yosef, about five lines into the wide lines. So v'shel or shehim edivrei Torah, and then shehim edivrei Torah. Tzarich lahafrish kishir challah. V'shel kohen shehim edivrei so from ein lashir. And he says, and the that which was burnt, which is actually real challah, so that needed a shir challah. And that which was given to the kohen, which is only the rabbanon, didn't require a shir. You can give him whatever you want. And then from nahar ve'ad amnon v'lifnim beis chalos achas l'or v'achas l'kohen, and this is now in chutz la'aretz. So shall or ein lashir mifnei shehi nisrefes because it gets burned. So here now already we're in chutz la'aretz, and therefore there's no semblance of the mitzvah at all. Now we still do this sort of zecher l'chala. So you take off some amount and burn it, and it's ein lashir because it's just getting burnt. But the kohen you also give to the kohen that should have a shir mifnei shehi necheles v'shtei midivrei sofrim, and both of them are going to be midivrei sofrim. So that seems to be the assumption in Chutz La'aretz, that you also take off two challahs, but as opposed to these quasi-Eretz Yisrael land where you take off the sheer challah and burn it and take off another amount and give it to the Kohen, in Chutz La'aretz you take off a small amount and burn it and take a larger amount and give that to the Kohen.
Okay, so I think I missed it. What? Is the Kohen allowed to eat it?
So is the Kohen allowed to eat it? So when you're taking off these two amounts, so in Eretz Yisrael, they had the full status of Tumah V'Tahara, and therefore the Kohen would eat it, right? Assuming he was Tahor, right? And assuming the woman being Mafresh is Tahor. I mean, that's an additional issue. And you know, potentially a woman for a significant portion of the month, right, is not necessarily Tahor. But assuming that she is Tahor, so then she would be Tahor, and you would take off the challah, and then it would be given to the Kohen. And the Kohen was Tahor. It had the full status of being of challah. Now, only on a level of Durabanan, because they didn't have the majority of Jews there, but they were maintaining the same halachos as it appears in the Torah with regards to Tumah V'Tahara and things like that. Okay? In Chutz La'aretz, in this quasi-land, they separated the shir challah, the same amount of challah, but the assumption is that it was probably tameh. So therefore, they had to burn it. So they burnt that, but they still have to remember that there's an amount that you're supposed to give to the Kohen. So they would take off a small amount and give that to the Kohen. Did he have to be Tahor in that case? Probably not. Maybe. We'll see. Probably not. And then in Chutz La'aretz, then there was it's really only a din, like a complete din derabanan, meaning even during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, and there's going to be differences in terms of the halacha of chala in Eretz Yisrael versus chala in Chutz La'aretz, because in Eretz Yisrael it's like a derabanan patterned after the Doraisa, and Chutz La'aretz it's sort of like a zecher l'chala. So there are actually end up being ramifications hazman hazeh between things that happen in Eretz Yisrael versus in Chutz La'aretz. But in Chutz La'aretz, where it's totally only a zecher, so they would take off only a small amount in order to burn it, sort of like as a zecher to the challah, but they still want to give to the Kohen. So when you give to the Kohen, you give him a larger amount that he'll be able to give, as the Noda Behuda talked about last week with regards to the Shir Nesina, that there had to be an amount that was going to be given.
It's
worthwhile to be given, yeah. Okay, so now it continues on and says, Utvul yom ochla. So, a tvul yom could eat it. So, what's that talking about? Back in the Beis Yosef here, about five lines from the bottom. So, perish tvul yom. The keri, meaning somebody who, a bal keri, for example, someone who had, had bia, and now the next day he's a bal keri, so, and he hasn't gone to the tumah yet. So, afal pisha tuma yotza olav migufo, he kilu chachamim ba'osa chalashnia. So with this bal keri, so even though he has tuma yotza migufa, right, he has tuma from him, still the chachamim were mekel with that chala shnia, meaning this sort of made up chala that we're giving to him. She'ena ella kidei shelo tishtakeach toras chala. So because it's only that they don't forget chala. And Rabbi Yossi was even more mekel. The kamer daft tefila ena tzrichel. He doesn't even need tefila. Vasur lezavim, and it's asur lezavim. So then there's this machlokes about even if you were matir by a balkari, maybe the other tumos, meaning a zav and a zava and nida and etc., maybe that case they would be more machmir on, but yeah, okay, fine. Elavade hani nami gets into these details. But if you look at the bottom line here on this page in the Beis Yosef, this is Velama Vishal Izar Mitumas Mace, Vigam Sarhli Tami Lakrovov, Velama Tiknu Chala Shnia, Lakoinim Iyashar La Ochla, right? Why would they have the secondary chala and not to eat it? So therefore they want to remember it, and therefore they were makel and allowing the Kohen to be able to eat it. Now, on the second page here in the Beis Yosef, as you get towards the bottom of the page, he points out that this is not the minhag nowadays, right? That three lines from the bottom, the Beis Yosef here says, V'chein ha-minhag pashat shelo lahafrish el chalas ha'or, bilvad. That nowadays we only are mafrish the chalas ha'or. V'chasav sefer ha-truma, sh'atam, why is that? Meaning, what happened? That's against the Gemara, it seems. Sh'atam lefi sh'tzarech l'shamra mizarim v'gayim, V'gam pa'mim shenosim osa bekara b'merek rosach v'ata usser zar lechol bekara. He says because there started becoming problems with it. They had trouble keeping it away from the zarim and the gayim, and also there were times when they would put it in soup or something like that, and that means that there were blios, and therefore you would challah in the dishes, and led to those types of yoredeya issues. And the Rambam adds as well, "Bizman hazeh she'ein shem isa tahor b'mifnei tumas hameis mafrishin challah achas b'chol eretz Yisrael." They would take off only one challah in eretz Yisrael echad, right? Me'arbayim ushmona b'sor from osan, they would burn it. Continuing on to the third page in the Beis Yosef, mifnei shehi tameya, because it was tamei. V'yeshla sham shem min ha'tayra u'michaziv v'adamana mafrishin shniyah l'koin la'ochla v'ein la'shir k'she'ad davar mikodem. And the Rambam still says, records, however, that from kaziv they would take off this second amount. So the Beis But at the bottom of this space, Yosef, he already quotes from the Bahag, well, he's quoting from the Torah, that we don't take this off. We don't do these two challahs anymore. King Kasu Atosu Perak Ad Kama, Bishmo, Umiyu Kasu Achar Kach, Venir Da Aksha, Kim Shasorfen Osola Fish, Ein Lehem Haza, Bechol Eretz Yisrael, Tzarech Lahafri Shnia, Kamo Bechaziv Yad Hanar, Yad Anon, Shemafrish Chala Shnia, Shalot Tisha Chayach Torah Chala. But the Tosu seems to acknowledge that, well, maybe it makes sense that we would still go ahead and do this in order not to forget the concept of challah. So that is the thing here. I mean, he had these three levels in the Gemara. it seems like it should continue on today. They acknowledge that it seems like the minhag was to only take off one challah and burn it, as most people do today, and it's a little unclear where that came from. Okay, so why that is the case. So the Rama seems to clarify it somewhat, but let's take a look then in the Shulchan Aruch. So Shulchan Aruch, here we are, Shin Chaf Beis Sif Gimel. So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Mafrishin chal b'chutz la'aretz midivrei sofrim k'dei shelo tishakeach toras chal miYisrael." Right, that we are mafrish chalas in chutz la'aretz midrabanan in order not to forget the idea of chala. Fine. Dalet. So Dalet says, as we said already, that there's three dinim l'chala b'shalosh aratzos. Right, there's three halachas of chala in the three lands, in these three different lands. Kol aresh yechziku ba oli bavel ad kaziv mafrishin ba chala achas kashir v'hinel chelz l'kohanim. The Kohanim, right? And it gets, you separate Challah, and it gets given to the Kohanim. The rest of Eretz Yisrael, Sheikhziku Ba'oli Mitzrayim, Velo Oli Bavel, and the rest of Eretz Yisrael were only the people that came up from Mitzrayim conquered, and not the people from Bavel, which is from Kaziv until Amana, and the river, right? Mafrishin Ba, they would separate two Challahs. The Rishona was the one of 48th, I mean, that was the real Challah, and that was burnt. And the second one didn't have an amount, and it was given to a Kohen to eat. And then the further lands, the whole arts me amna v'luchutz, right? Whether luchutz or bifnim, right? Bein besuria, bein b'shar aratzos, whether the rest of the lands, right? Luchutz is different. We had it as bifnim, but obviously it's talking about Eretz Yisrael, chutz la'aretz. Shtei chalos harishonos, they would separate these two chalos. The first one didn't have a shear, and that's what was burned. V'hashnia, that was 1/48, v'nel chalos and was eaten, umuteres l'tameim, it was mutter to those that were tamei, even to Zavim and Zavos, Zavim and Zavos. Uzman hazeh, and nowadays, she'ein Issa Tahora, mifnei Tumas Ameis, nowadays we don't have the Issa Tahora in Eretz Yisrael at all, because of everybody's tummy meis. Mafrishin chala achas, b'chol Eretz Yisrael, they would still only do one chala, echad mimem ches, and they would burn it. Mifnei shehi temeya, and from Kiziv until Amana, they would still separate two. L'koein l'achilav ein l'shir k'shaya davar mikodem. But there was no shir as they had it earlier, right? So the Beis Yosef records that it used to be, and the truth is, the Gra points out here that the Gemara in Chagiga seems to say that they had paraduma water. When did they stop having paraduma water? When did they no longer have water from paraduma? Did they have paraduma in the second Beis Hamikdash?
Must have had it, although they couldn't do anything.
Yes, well, they definitely did. In fact, they had more paradumas in the second base of Migdash than they did in the first base of Migdash. I think the Gemara makes a point about that there was less Kedusha, and therefore they need more par, whatever. There were more par, I think there were 10 paradumas, the Gemara says, and like 8 of them were in the second and 2 of them were in the first, or something like that. But they had paraduma water during the time of the Amoraim. There's a Gemara in Chagiga that talks about them using the water of the paraduma, the Amoraim using it. So they still had paraduma water going all the way, you know, for several hundred years after the destruction of the second base of Migdash.
Yeah, 300-400, something like that.
Right. So the indication is that during the time of the Gemara, they were still maintaining these halachos, that challah in Eretz Yisrael was like real d'oraisa challah, where it was only eaten by those that were tahar. And then in this quasi land, they still separated the two. Right, the two challahs. One, the larger amount was burnt because of the concern that everybody was really tamei. And then they and some of it was given to a kohen. But in Eretz Yisrael, the mechaber records here in Eretz Yisrael where they ran out of the paraduma water, they couldn't do it anymore. Right, so there they would just burn the whole thing. And then what about in Chutz La'aretz? So then in Hay, he says in Chalas Chutz La'aretz, Afa Pishi Tameya, even though it's Tamei, Hov Ikrach Yuvim Midivrim, the whole thing is only Durabanan. Ein Asur Bachila, it's not really Asur Bachila, Ella Hal Kohen, Shetuma Yotzala Migufo. Except for a Kohen who has Tuma that comes from his body, and which are Balikeri Zavim Zavus Nidos Yolades, Aval Shar Tmeim, Bimaga Hatumos, but other those that become Tamei by touching things, right? Afilu Tamei Mace. Right, so they touch a sheretz or they touch a tummy mace. Mutarn lachla, they're allowed to eat it. Lefichach, bein besuria, bein bechutz laretz, imratz lahafrish chala achas. If you want to separate a chala, right, mafrish echad, mimem ches, you should separate 1/48. V'nel cheles lekatan, shadayin lo ra'akari. And you can give it to a child who hasn't, who hasn't experienced any tuma yet, and he hasn't experienced keri yet. So you give it to an 8-year-old, and he's a kohen, he could eat it. That's the Chara Paskins, and this is Bizman Hazeh. Olik Tana, or to a daughter, or to a girl. Shadayin lo rasa nida, that she's never been a nida yet. Ve'enot sarach lahafrish nida, and you don't have to separate a second one, meaning that's it. You just take the chal and give it to a little boy kohen or a girl kohen. V'chein im hayesh, and even to an older kohen. V'chein im hayesham kohen gadol shetavol nishichvat zaro, that went to the mikvah. Still omizivaso alpha pisha lo hariv shimsho, even if it hasn't become sunset yet, meaning still would be called tvul yom. Some say that he does need that, but you could eat that first challah, and you don't have to separate a second one. Meaning, if you're giving him the challah that you separate in Chutz Laretz, that would be okay. Now, in the borderlands, right, you wouldn't be able to do that. In the borderlands, you still have to separate two, because the assumption there is that really is tame. But and because you can't keep it away from Gayim, and it might have the real din of challah and things like that. But in Chutz Laretz, where it's clear that it's only Durban, and it's only sort of a divrei sofrim, and keeping the minhag alive, so we are more makel in a sense, in that we would separate it and even potentially give it to a kohen, provided that it's that he or she is a child, right, who hasn't become tuma and tummy in this way, or they're an adult who went to the mikvah, which isn't crazy. I mean, that anybody who goes onto Harabayis nowadays, so in theory, they're supposed to go to the mikvah that day and to resolve their tuma issues before going.
So, but we don't do that today.
So we don't do that. So the Ramah comes along and says, nothing doing. He says, "V'yesh omrim." He says, "No." That kaven she'ein chala nechalas b'zman hazeh be'eretz Yisrael, gam b'shar mekomos ein tzrichin lahafrish, rak chala achas ulasarfa. He says, "No." That there's no longer chala eaten in Eretz Yisrael. Also in other places, ein tzrichin lahafrish. We don't separate only one chala and we burn it, and we burn it. So you separate challah and you burn it. Now, the Rama is saying this not just in Chutz Laretz, but in Eretz Yisrael and the middle grounds as well, right? He seems to be saying across the board, you're only taking one and you're burning it, right? No longer is this, you're separating some and giving some other, and you're separating the challah and burning it and giving some to the Kohen, or taking a little bit and burning it and giving a larger amount to the Kohen. No, you only separate one and you go ahead and burn it. So why is that? Why does he seem to go against the halacha in the Gemara? So Rav David Cohn, in his sefer here, Frashas Chala, so he says, if you look carefully at the Ramah, he's explaining it. He says, Kivan she'ein chala necheles bizman hazeh be'eretz Yisrael. That chala is not eaten nowadays in Israel. In other lands, we don't have to separate it. So why were we giving some challah to a kohen? I mean, when there was challah being eaten in Eretz Yisrael during the time of the Gemara, right? Why were we giving some challah to kohanim in Chutz Laretz as well? So he said, in order not to forget the idea that you're supposed to give it to the kohen. So comes Rabbi Cohen suggests that what the Ramah is saying is that, well, that's not the reason. Maybe it's not that we don't forget it's given to the kohen during the time when Mashiach comes one day. It's that it's not that we have to remember that really some amount is supposed to be given to the kohen nowadays, because the practice was in Eretz Yisrael that you gave it to the kohen. In fact, if you separate real challah and it has kedushas challah, right, you're not allowed to just burn it. You're not allowed to just burn truma. You're not allowed to just burn kachim, right? You're not allowed to do that, right? So therefore, it would be given, it potentially, when it was given to a Kohen in Eretz Yisrael, it would be given to a Kohen in Chutz Laretz as well. But when it's no longer being given to a Kohen in Eretz Yisrael anymore, so then the idea that you had to give it to a Kohen in Chutz Laretz to recall the fact that it should be given to a Kohen in Eretz Yisrael, that is no longer going to be applicable. And that then is that is the common practice today, that you separate a little bit of challah and it gets burnt. Now, there's still a question, like, why not? Like, okay, what if instead of burning it, I want to give it to a Kohen? Or what if I am a Kohen, right? And instead of burning it, I want to give it to my kid to eat. or something like that. So continues the Rama and says, V'chein ha-minog pashut b'chol medinos elu, that's our minog, she'ein mafrishin rak chala achas, so we separate a little bit of chala, below shear, we don't separate a specific amount, 1/24th, 1/48th, we don't do that, v'sorfenosa k'moshayu osin, right, and we burn it like they did, k'she mafrishin shtei chalos, she'chala ha-or lo hayala shear, because the chala, the fire, doesn't really need a shear, mikol makom, but still, noagin litol kezayis, our minog is to take a kezayis. Okay, now, that itself is a little bit of a question. This kezayis shear sort of comes out of nowhere, right? Where exactly is that amount coming from? It might have to do with that Nod Bihuda about a shear nesina. What is the shear nesina? So 1/24th, 1/48th, maybe it's just a kezayis, right? And maybe that's where the Ramaz, or really the Ramaz quoting from Ma'aril, Rabbi Cohen points out that his that the Ma'aril is really quoting it from a tshuva of Rashi, who sort of just says it without any explanation. So it could be that that's the pshat, that that there's a shear nesina that is given. Now, the Ramaz continues. Now, oddly, very oddly, the Rama continues on and says, and what happens if you do eat the challah? Right? He just got through saying that you're not supposed to eat it, and the minhag is that you don't eat it, the minhag is that you burn the whole thing. And then he continues on and says, Ba'ochel challah, and by the way, if you eat challah, afilu b'chutz la'aretz, mevarich tchila, you make a bracha on it. Ala min shirotza lechel, you make the bracha on what you want to eat, so it's going to be hamotzi or mezonos, right? And then you say, Ba'achar kach mevarich, asher kisham ketoshav shal aron, v'tzivanu lechel truma, right? That we make a bracha on eating the truma. By the way, what?
Has to be a Kohen, of course.
Right, right. If a Kohen come and eat it, so then we make the bracha lechol truma. By the way, using whether the bracha should be on eating truma or not, so the bracha on challah is a very interesting topic, because the Torah refers to it as truma and the Rabbanim refer to it as challah, right? So which one wins out when it comes to the text of the bracha? But we'll save that for another time. The Rama at least says that when you eat it, you make a bracha on eating truma. V'yesh overim, and some say, k'shesorfim achala osin lahesek bifnei atma, the Yisrael asr lihanos mimena, that you have to make a sort of a separate fire for it because the Yisrael is not allowed to benefit from it, which is an issue, by the way, how to burn the chala, we'll get to that. V'v'noagin lashicha l'taner kodem shofen apas, and the minhag is to put it in the oven before the bread is burnt there. Fine. So, what? So how does the Rama ultimately come down? Could you give it to a Kohen to eat or not?
So if you put it in the oven before you bake the bread, it's helping to heat the oven.
No, but no, and it's supposed to be done before you bake. I mean, and you take it out before the bread.
Put the oven in hot. I mean, that's how he used to do it. He used to heat up the oven and put the. Okay, I mean, I can see it could be a problem.
Right. No, it is. It needs to be figured out. And and also, are there blios then if you put it in the oven? I mean, what do you do about that, right? So burning of the challah, we got a little table.
I think we're in aluminum foil or something. I haven't really watched. But,
yeah, right. No, yeah. You usually wrap it in aluminum foil and put it in. But okay, but still, I mean, it needs to be. We don't generally put treif things in our ovens, right? So.
So, well, it's not true.
Right, okay. Right. So how do you understand its status when it's being put in? But okay, but so the shachir. So how does the Rama ultimately conclude? Can you give it to a kohen to eat or not? Does that option exist? So shachir says lefichach bim besuria bim b'chutz la'aretz. Right, kolomar kivin shebishar tameim mutter la'achlan. That because by other tamei people it's permissible to eat. Hilkach katan v'ktana she'ena leim tuma migufam. So therefore, a katan and a ktana that don't have tumas aguf, afal pi shelo nizaru mitumas ameis, even though they're not careful about tumas ameis, v'chai gavna ochlen osa, v'ein tzarech la'afrish acheres kol, and we don't have to imafrish anything else if you're actually going to give it to him. That's what it sounds like, right? Aval hechadol, when there's no katan, o ktana, o gadol, shetav, but there's no way available to eat it. So that's what we mean. Afar alo or v'ein la shir v'achas l'koin v'yesh la shir mutarim la'ochlen betuma, l'zavim l'zavos v'lados v'yoledes, as we explain. So, meaning he's quoting the Mechaber, saying, yeah, you could go ahead and eat it. But the Yesh Omer Bahaga, however, is related to the B'chol Inyan that you don't. Ein Mafrishin Inna, Rak Chala Achas, Afilu Ein Sham Kohen Tahor, Rak Mishatuma, Yotza Mimenu Migufo, Ein Mafrish El Chala Achas, Vatam Kasu Aposkim, Lefisha Tzarech Leshamra, Mizorim, Umi Ovdiko Chavim, Vagampam Mishnosnim, Osa Bekara, Bemerek, Rotach, Raiva Ata Aser Zar, Leachla Bekara. Nowadays it's prohibited to Zar to eat it in the and then it would be usher for the Zar to eat from that Kli. Umashra de Yesh Omer Pli, inami hecha de ika kohen katan. It sounds like the Ramah is arguing as well, where there is a kohen katan, o gadol tahor, that you shouldn't give it to them, right? Rak sorfer nasa, just go ahead and burn it. V'kein kasa marshal, de'ein noagim latte ischa, we don't give the chal at all to a katan, mishim de lo machzikinim izman zazeh, b'kohen vadai, because we're not actually sure that he's a kohen. He's only has a chazak of being a kohen, he's not certainly a kohen. V'kein kasa maril b'hilchos pesach, the darko lidrosh b'rabim, shalo lachil a kohen, and so to the maril writes, and in Hilchos Pesach, that they gave a drasha publicly that make sure not to give that you shouldn't give to the Kohen Katan any of this the challah, so that we don't say that challah chutzlar should be eaten, etc. And just to the bottom underline part, v'chein kasa rabba rachayim simin sof simin tafnun zayin the alpha gav the stam sham betchilas kasara toward the machilin so the Kohen Katan, even though it sounds like he originally starts like sounding like the tour that you could give it to a Kohen Katan v'rei nagina ne'idna b'chatzah v'chalos the matzah, as our minug is by the matzah chalos, v'chalos, when you separate challah from matzah, v'chalos, the chol yimos hashana, lo nagin litna l'koin katan, v'tzarech l'chalik bin Pesach v'shar yimos hashana. Perhaps you need to distinguish between Pesach and the other days of the year. What in the world is he talking about here at the end? That there seems to be, that maybe there's some kind of switch when it comes to the matzah on Pesach. What in the world is this about? So the Ramah about challah lemaisa does appear in Hilchos Pesach. There's actually a simon about Hilchos challah in Hilchos Pesach. Simon Tuf Nun Zayin in Hilchos Pesach is entitled Din Hanuheges Hachala Beisos Matzah. What to do about the challah when it comes to making the matzahs? So if you take a look at Tuf Nun Zayin Beis, so I think it's the last page of the notes. Second to last page, the Mechaber there says, Halash Isa B'Yom Tov Shal Pesach, that if you need an Isa on Yom Tov of Pesach, Lo Yikari Sham L'Challah Ad Sheti Afeh, you shouldn't call anything challah until it's baked. Why? Shem Yikar La Shem, if you call it challah beforehand, Einu Rishai Lafosa, you're not allowed to bake it. Right, v'im yanichenu because it's challah and it's not going to be eaten. V'im yanichena, and if you just leave it, then it's going to become chametz. V'ino reshay l'sor for biyantiv, and you can't burn it on yantiv. V'im shachach v'karol l'shem yatilena litzonein v'yamniyena milahachmetz. You should put in like cold water and hold it back from becoming chametz. Okay, let's see what the Ramah says and figure out what he's talking about here. Comes the Ramah and says, "V'im yesh kohen katan shelo ra keri o gadol shetavu l'kiryav." If you happen to have a kohen around who's a katan or a gadol that's gone to the mikvah, you can mutter lafo sachala, you could bake the challah on his behalf and he could eat it. But however, some say we don't give it to a kohen to eat at all. And some say that you should need less than the amount for yantif in order to exempt oneself from challah. Mm-hmm. So what is he talking? What is going on here? So why the Ramah seems to be taking the Ramah seems to be saying that a katan should eat it, because the rules of the Ramah are, right, it's a stam v'yesh. He says, if there is a kohen katan, you give it to him. And some say that we don't give challah nowadays to a kohen. But that's the yeshomrim. But the stam, right, the plain opinion of the Ramah seems to be that you do give it to a kohen. So that seems to be the flip of what we have over here in Hilchos Challah. So what's going on here? So what is this sif talking about? So this sif is specifically talking about baking matzah on yontif. Now, it sounds a little crazy, and generally we don't do that at all, right? Because the whole assumption of matzah is that there's some amount of bittul probably going on with the matzah. That's the whole Arizona matzah thing, right? That we're very nervous about baking matzah in general. Certainly baking matzah on Pesach is not something that we normally do, right? Having plain wheat flour in our houses on Pesach is like not a thing, right? But there is a concept of matzos mitzvah, right? That of matzos, that the idea of baking matzah lishma, and that idea is to bake matzah lishma only during the zman of Pesach. And there are those that are knowing what does it mean during the zman of Pesach, meaning the time that the korban Pesach could be offered. So they would bake, and there is Hasidic places that do this ad yom hazeh. I mean, it's not an uncommon thing for people more in the Hasidic world than in the Litvish world, for people to bake matzah on Erev Pesach. All right, Erev Pesach, called Erev Pesach Chabura matzos. Right, if you thought the matzah is a shmur matzah that you buy in the store is expensive, right? You know, try quadrupling the price or so, right? And you'll get to this extra mehudar chumra matzah. Now, that works great much of the year. However, there is once in a while, there is a problem that you're not even able to bake it on Erev Pesach, right? What if, like, Pesach falls out Motzi Shabbos, right? So an Erev Pesach Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, so that you're not allowed to bake on Erev Pesach. So if you're going to be Machmir on Matzos Mitzvah Bismano, so what do you do? So you actually then go to the matzah factory the night of Pesach. Right? Imagine how late your Seder is going under these circumstances, right? But that's what we're talking about here. Those that are machmir to bake matzos on Pesach, right? And how are you allowed to do that? Well, you're allowed to bake on Yontif, right? So the problem then is that, so that's what the Mechaber is talking about, that if you separate challah, so now you have this dough sitting there. And if you separate the challah and it's still dough, so you're not allowed to just bake it. Because if you just bake it, it's not for ochel nefesh, right? It's nobody's eating it, right? So that you're just baking something, right, for no reason. So that's aser on yontif. And if you just leave it around, so then it becomes chametz, and now you're gonna have chametz. So that's the problem. So that's why the Mechaber says, you know, don't separate the challah until after you bake it, and then after you bake it, then you separate some challah and you put it off to the side. So comes the Rama and says, under those circumstances, then you have the option of giving it to a child, right? That time on Pesach night, when you're baking matzah, when you happen to be baking matzah on Seder night, right? Under those circumstances, so then if you separate the dough and now you have this dough and what do you do with it? So then it would be mutter to bake and give it to a katan and give it to a child to be able to eat. And even that is still, you could do that. And yesh omrim that even that you shouldn't go ahead and do. How do we paskin? So if you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah here on Chaf Beis, the Mishnah Berurah says, She'ein machilin, she'ein machzikin osak a kohen, that we're not machzikim like a kohen. Vadai, the dilma nischalla achas me'amusav, that perhaps he was, that maybe there was a chalal someplace in his past, and we can't really trust that he is a kohen. When we call mokum ledina, das harav kedas harishona, the nosin lekatan o legadol, shetavol lekiryav. However, lehalacha, the das harav, kedas harishona, that we pass in like the first opinion, that we give it to a katan under those circumstances, I mean, that would be okay. But Pirma Gadim says, still, I never saw anybody do this. There are places that do this, that will give it to a Kohen that was Tovel. And the Magen Avram says, I think this is what the Magen Avram says, right, that why specifically on Pesach one would be Mekel in order to go ahead and do this, because it's sort of a once in a while time, and there's a real loss on the other end. It's not just about, so the Kohen doesn't get to eat. There's a real counter pressure in that otherwise you're going to have this dough turning into chametz.
I've got to go. I've got a 9 o'clock meeting. I'm running. Thank you. Okay. Sorry.
I'll just add in one more Mari Makom. You could go, but one more Mari Makom is the from Jewish Action magazine a couple of years ago. So it ran an article about, I think, David Olivestone's article. He describes his Pesach in his house. Whenever he would go and burn the chametz, his mother would always take out a little bit of matzah and put it in the bag with the chametz. And the article is about how he has no idea why he did this, but he continued to do it, and has cast it on to his children to do, etc. And he couldn't figure out what the world this was. And then finally he came to the realization that probably it's when the family used to bake their own matzahs, and then they took it all home, and they broke off a piece and sent it to be burnt, because it's to be burnt as a frasha schala. And that probably has to do with the matzah mitzvah. He probably wasn't doing it the night of Pesach or of Pesach. It was being done beforehand, and therefore the minhag was to break off a piece as a frasha schala, and include that with the chametz that one was going ahead and burning.
My mother used to do the same thing. She would take all the matzo boxes, cover them with a towel or something, and then take a piece out of one of the boxes and give it to us to burn. We used to burn it. Actually, we had a coal furnace back then.
You said your mother used to do this?
Yeah, it was my mother's custom. I don't do it.
It probably has to do with Hafreshes Challah. Nowadays, I don't know what they were doing then, why they weren't being Mafresh Challah. Right, there they were baking it themselves, probably. So if they're baking it themselves, then you were Mafresh Challah later on. But if you're nowadays, you're getting it from the company, so it's all in their hechsher, so there's no real reason to do it. But yes, that was solving that mystery. I used that in Shemesh Agadol Drasha a couple of years ago, story.
Mother was from a Hasidic, and her father.
Yeah.
But so there's no, you can actually do it from baked bread also. Right?
Yes, no, you could do it after the baking. In fact, we'll learn about this also, but that's the difference between a thick dough and a thin dough. If it's a thick dough, so then you do it before, but if it's a thin dough, I mean, you pour it, a blila ava versus a blila raka. All right, it's a blila raka, that it's a pourable dough, so you can't really mafresh challah because it's liquid, so you wait for it to be baked, and then you do it. So like with cookie, with muffins and things like that, so usually you're not using enough challah you're not using enough flour for these things. But if you are, so then you would be mafresh the challah after it gets baked rather than before.
But with the thick one, you could also do it after.
Yeah. No, you could still do it after, right?
Is it preferable to do it?
It's preferable to do it before, but then you don't have the problem. I mean, the reason we bake it first also is because if we just leave this dough around, then who knows what's going to be, right? We might get mixed in, so you just want to get rid of it right away. So therefore, we try to take care of it as soon as we can. But in theory, we'll see even like Shabbos Day, you're about to cut the challah, and this is actually one of the differences between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, but if you're about to cut the challah and your wife says, "Oy, gevalt, I forgot to be mafresh challah," right, and the challah is sitting there right in front of you, so in theory you can cut it and leave a part off, and that would be the challah that would be done. All right.